Welcome back to another episode of The Field House with Stormy and the Brodies. I'm Stormy, back with my Brodies, Marcellus.
Call me T.I., you know who it is.
Carl in the back.
What's goody?
And we've got our special Brody back again, Ian.
Dude, suh.
Well, like we promised last week, we're going to do a little recap of the Final Four and the National Championship. Guys, how about you start us off? Because Ian, you were terribly wrong.
Okay, so I want to apologize to everyone listening for having to sit through my BS predictions last week. I was wrong. I was so wrong. And Marcellus, are you listening?
I am listening to you.
You were right. I was wrong.
I appreciate you, sir. I appreciate you. Because JV would not admit that.
Oh, no.
He would have never manned up and done that. I appreciate
you're
you
welcome.
So much, Ian.
You're
I
welcome.
Really do. But, again, I told you that UNC was coming back with a mission, especially after the way that they lost last year. You had to have known that Justin Jackson, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks, Joel Berry, even though Joel Berry cannot make a free throw to save his life, yeah. You had to know that they were coming back.
The whole
back.
Team couldn't make a free throw
oh,
to save their lives. They're the most unclutch free throw shooters in the game.
I honestly was scared watching that Oregon game because they missed, what, 4 free throws in a row?
Yeah.
4 and in a row and fact, got the rebound.
The fact that Brooks
time.
Couldn't box out was just.
I thought it was Hale or Dale or something.
No,
like that.
Was it?
Bell.
It was Bell.
Yeah, no,
yes, it was Bell.
Sure.
Sorry. It wasn't Brooks. It was Bell.
Did you see Bell after the game? Sorry, sidebar, but did you see what happened with the interview after
I
the
don't.
Game? He went into the locker room and the reporters asked him what went wrong and he said, everybody else on my team did great. I lost the game for. It's all my fault. I suck. And then just started breaking down in tears and, like, fell on the ground and started crying as they watched
him.
Well, you know, people, the first rebound, okay, he didn't box out. He didn't box out Kennedy Meeks.
Yeah.
That second one, Kennedy Meeks just welcomed him to big boy world and bullied him. There wasn't really anything that he could do.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just the laws of physics coming into play. Did you see how Gonzaga, I mean, because South Carolina had a chance in, but did you see how Gonzaga played that out? And why? South Carolina didn't prevail.
My boy Sidwell didn't score until what was it, 6:23 left in the first half. I think he did not score at all in the beginning, and I don't know if it's because he was sick, like Stormy said last week, or what. But
Gonzaga proved to the country that they could shoot the ball, and they didn't have to rely on Karnowski as much as what the country thought. But this is another subject, correct, Stormy? Did Gonzaga at one point foul when they were up by 3, and it was 15? No, he fouled him with less than 6 seconds on the clock, and he tried to play it off like he didn't foul him on purpose. He did because Gonzaga's coach.
Mark Few,
yes, Few.
His name literally means to lose less or lose more.
Few literally said in a press conference that they have been working on that all year long, and I have never understood why teams do not do this more often. Why didn't Roy Williams do this against Kentucky? He wouldn't have had to rely on a game-winning shot with 0.5 seconds left. Should people foul when up by 3? My Facebook family that is watching right now, please give your responses to this topic because I have never understood why teams do not foul when up by 3 on the final possession in the last 10 seconds. There's no reason to play it out.
Tell us why.
Because I would rather give them 2 free throws and not even give them a chance to get a 3-point shot off. You're up by 3. It's a strategy.
But again,
it's no different. It's no different than fouling a terrible free throw shooter in the NBA and thus leading a team to having empty possessions. It's no different than that.
Maybe, but if they make that first free throw and then they miss the second one and they get the rebound, they got a chance to come up with 3.
I trust.
But with Gonzaga, in that possession, you've got arguably the best big man in the game. You trust your guys to block out and get the rebound. Like, when you've got a rebounding team like that, you trust your guys to get the job done. Now, for Oregon's sake, they do not want to do that because those guys can't get a rebound to save their lives.
I'm sorry, Carl, but if 4 can't box out 2, then we don't deserve to win the game at that point. If 4 people can't box out 2 people, we don't deserve to win. I am fouling every single time. We're going to make them shoot 2 free throws, and I am telling them, hey, man, if 4 of y'all can't box out 2 guys, then y'all don't deserve the W. But as far as I'm concerned, 4 people should be able to box out 2.
I never thought I'd be saying this, but I agree with Marcellus 100%.
Yes. Why? I never understood why people play it out. I don't get it. It makes zero sense to play that out. Like, Roy Williams, you have one of the best rebounding big men in the country in Kennedy Meeks. And you got Isaiah Hicks as well. Mm-hmm. And you have Pence, and all these guys can rebound the basketball. Why are you allowing one of the greatest three-point shooters in the country in Malik Monk to get a shot off? Mm-hmm. Granted, he had two guys on him, but why are you even playing that out and taking that risk? Now you're stressing. Now you have to chunk the ball down the court and hit a game-winning shot with 0.5 seconds left. All of that could have been prevented if you just foul when up by three. I'm not saying foul with 15 seconds left on the clock. I'm saying foul with maybe 8 or 9 left.
And when you talk about, like, yes, if they get the defensive rebound, you know, they're not in a rush to score. They're up by one. And if anything, the other team's going to foul them. They've got another chance to get back up by three. So I agree with you guys.
Yeah.
Fouling when you're up by three is
the
smart.
Only risk in taking that strategy is if you're playing somebody that is extremely intelligent and has high basketball IQ, and they sense when you're going to foul and do a shooting motion from behind the three-point line. That's about the only risk I see in doing that and using that strategy. Other than that, the offensive rebound scenario, again, it's 4v2. If four of my guys cannot box out two people, we don't deserve to win. I'm sorry. We have no business being in this situation if four guys can't box out two. I am fouling every single time. From a coach's standpoint, I am fouling every single time I am in that situation. I would never play it out. Never. Same thing if Greg Popovich, because he doesn't believe in fouling, went up by three. But had he done that, LeBron would be, what, 2-5 in the finals right now instead of 3-4? Mm-hmm. I mean, Ray Allen saved his butt because they played it out. They tied the game and ultimately ended up winning game 6 and won game 7.
Yeah.
But, again, if the Spurs foul went up by 3, you make LeBron shoot 2 free throws, which LeBron isn't the best of free throw shooters anyways. And you had Tim Duncan. You had all these guys that could get a defensive rebound. So no reason why you shouldn't foul when up by three every single time.
I agree. This year, actually, on a smaller scale, I watched our girls' basketball team play against Southeastern Oklahoma. They've got the smallest girl that can shoot the absolute crap out of the ball. Like, she's flinging it from half court when she's on their home court. They were up, I think, maybe by 3 and didn't foul and let her jack one from I guess about where, like, if you had the volleyball court on there, about the 10-foot line on that side, and she made it, they go into overtime and lose. Fouling them, the girls did a decent job of getting some rebounds, so I think if they would have fouled, they would have had a lot better chance of keeping that lead.
Exactly. Exactly. I totally agree.
But, I mean, if a coach makes a decision to not foul when you're up by 3, that means that they believe in their team's defense.
But you know just as well as I do, Carl, anything can go in. Did you not watch the intramural championship with Eric?
Yeah.
How he drains a 3 from half court? Foul him.
I was standing on the sidelines when he had foul for the ball. He playing that. I saw it.
Same thing with Malik Monk. Malik Monk hit a off-balance 3 over 2 people. You can trust your defense. Because as far as I'm concerned, that was some of the best defense played on that possession. It's just anything can happen when a ball is thrown at the rim. Anything can happen.
True, that was just an amazing shot.
Exactly. My whole point. That's my whole point. It can be an amazing shot every single time if you play it out. Rather, you can be safe, not take that risk in playing it out and giving up a really good shot. I'm fouling. I'm sorry. I'm fouling. You can call me cheesy and all you want to, but hey, I am in that situation, not you. My team is going to win in the end, and you can't do anything about it.
If they don't change the ball.
If they don't change the rule, why not do it? I feel like if more teams were to do that, then it'd be discussion. Hey, should they change the rule? The same thing they're doing with the Hack-a-Shaq rule right now. Should they change the rule because of fans? My answer is going to be the same as it is with this. No, because it's a strategy.
Do you think it's a strategy that they're laying off of it, though? Because just like how it was in the NBA, they're making sure that they find that player that has a low free throw percentage so they can find it.
That's a strategy.
We know that's a strategy. I'm saying, like, in the NBA, they take that player off the floor because they know it's going to happen. Do you think that the coaches have a strategy of keeping that rule in the game so they can keep on doing it, but they only do it in necessary games?
Yeah, I agree. I'm saying it's the same thing with big men. Don't change the rules and bail these big dudes out because they can't shoot free throws and they don't have the discipline to take their butt in the gym and work on that part of your game. Don't bail them out. It's the same thing. Don't bail out.
A lot of the time
out.
They do.
Yeah. No. No.
Yes.
No.
A lot
they
of
don't.
The time they do, because I've seen Dwight Howard actually practice his free throw, and he'll make like 50 in a row. But when he gets in the game, he just clunks all of them.
And that's his problem. He needs to work. He needs to get better at it. It's the same thing.
He has worked at it and has gotten better. It's just, I don't know, for some reason that he can't do it in an actual game.
Why? Again, why?
Seriously, I've watched tape of him hitting free throws. It's just that he can never do it in a game.
Have you looked up how often he works on it, though? How often does Dwight Howard work on his free throws? You'll never hear anything about these big men working on it. Shaq is the only one I've ever heard of in the offseason working on free throws, and he just physically could not make free throws. Other than that, the excuse of DeAndre Jordan, oh, he's a 40% free throw shooter because his hands are so big and they can't grip the ball. Kawhi Leonard has the biggest hands in the NBA, and he's an 88% free throw shooter, so that's not an excuse. I'm not trying to hear that. I'm not. That's a strategy that coaches use, and as far as I'm concerned, do not change that rule just because these dudes don't have the discipline to learn their craft and make one of the basic plays in basketball, and that's a free throw.
And speaking of those free throws, in the championship game, both teams shot so poorly, and I swear UNC needs to spend their entire offseason working on clutch free throw
it's
shooting.
Sad, isn't it?
It will not be like that next year, that they will get lucky enough that the team they play in the Final Four, if they're back there again, will not get enough defensive rebound on the two missed free throws. I'm sorry. But in their defense, they shouldn't have to be shooting that many free throws in a freaking championship game. The rest were ridiculous.
I mean, you can say that missed free throws decided the entire tournament. Even look back, Wisconsin, Florida,
yeah,
game that went in overtime. Nigel Hayes missed 8 free throws in the last 2 minutes in overtime combined,
yeah,
in a row, and then finished. He made 1 and then missed 4 more after that. You can't be doing that if your team wants to win the game, especially if you're the star player. And I don't know, it baffles me that these guys can't hit these free throws.
The most basic part of the game.
Yes.
The most basic part of the game. And these guys fail to execute the most basic part of basketball.
No, don't get me wrong. I can barely hit a free throw, but
we don't do it. We don't do it for a living. We don't. Yeah. We don't have full ride scholarships to D1 schools to do this. We don't get paid $20 million a year by an NBA team to do this.
My mom always says you needed to get fined if you missed your free throws in the NBA.
It's the most the most basic part of basketball. I don't understand how these. And the excuse of your hands are too big. Get out of here, dude. Kawhi Leonard is an 88% free throw shooter because he's taking the time to perfect his craft and knock down free throws and execute the most basic part of basketball.
Well, thank you guys for the lively conversation. Like always, we'll be back on another episode of The Fieldhouse with Stormy and the Brodies. I'm Stormy, signing off with my Brodies.